The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're going to go to Daniel, very famous passage of Scripture, chapter 6, and read verses 6 through 9, and we'll read some others as we go through it. So the administrators and the satraps went to a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. When you go into a king who can kill you anytime he wants to, you always go in saying, 'O king, live forever,' parenthetically, and let us live forever." All right? The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Daniel, for his testimony. Thank you for preserving this word for us, that we could read it and be fed from the manner of your word this morning, and that the story of Daniel in the lion's den, such a famous story, that it can be used today to impact our lives and teach us the truths and the principles that we need to know in order to serve you better. Father, we ask your blessings on our time together. Let your truth prevail. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Didn't say that wasn't a very big amen. Everybody said, amen. All right, y'all getting kind of quiet on me here. I'll get you back to Yahooing pretty soon. I chose this subject today because I wanted to make an announcement to you about a big change that we're making here at the structure of New Beginnings Church. Got your attention now? I thought I might. After much deliberation and prayer, Greg Trumbaugh has agreed to take on a permanent position as assistant pastor here at New Beginnings Church. Yay! Hallelujah! Just such a blessing. I tell you, that God would be so gracious as to give us someone like Greg and Cherie and the entire family to serve with us here. And, you know, it's beyond pastor of a small church like this, the probability of finding someone of Greg's caliber to work here with us is almost non-existent. These guys graduate from seminary, and they're going out for the big bucks. You know, they're going out to, you know, really cut their path through the world. And Greg decided to join with us, and I'm just thrilled about that. I've had many conversations with Greg and found him to be a man of integrity, a man of wisdom, even beyond his years. He's just the more you get to know him, the more you will appreciate the depths of this guy. He's dedicated to serving the Lord above all things, and that's what it really takes to be a minister for the Lord. So we really appreciate that. He and his family have made major sacrifices for him to go to seminary. Trust me, I know, I've been there. They're financial, they're physical, they're emotional, and they're spiritual. And he's paid a real heavy price in order to do that. I guess one of the things that Greg will testify to this, I think many people think that the seminary is just a cakewalk. You know, you're studying the Bible and you know that it's real easy. Trust me, it's no cakewalk. I went to a very difficult secular university to get my degree in business and accounting. And it was a cakewalk compared to what I experienced in the seminary. So you really have to earn your degree. If you run across anyone who's been to a really good seminary and has a degree from that seminary, they work really, really hard to get it. So there's lots involved with that. I chose this topic of today's sermon because I really wanted Greg to understand one thing as he comes on board. I want to say this publicly. Greg, I am the king. You mess up, it's the lion's den. So that everyone understands who's in charge around here, okay? Greg meets all the qualifications of an elder, okay? And I'm not going to talk about that too much other than just let me quickly read this to you because I think it'll help set the stage. The qualifications of an elder is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Say, here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and sees that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. And I've studied that passage of Scripture out very well. I've examined Greg's life, and he meets those qualifications as an overseer and as an elder. Probably sometime next month, I don't have the exact date set, Greg will be ordained through Resurrection Life Ministries, which is the overseeing ministry of our fellowship, and that's where I have my ordination with. We've already had conversations with Pastor Allen, and we've got the green light. We're just trying to get the schedule done. Allen will come down here, and we're going to have a really good ordination service for Greg. So that'll be coming up, all right? What I'd like to do now is just to take a moment and ask Greg to come up here and just share a few thoughts that he might have. And now that he's a seminary student, a seminary graduate, there's no such thing as a few thoughts. But come on up here, Greg. Hurry. Hey.
Why I went to seminary. The first part is the King James Version of the Bible says that Sarah referred to Abraham as master. So I figured, how could I get Cherie, my intelligent wife, to call me master? So I earned a master of divinity. Now she can call me master. Right. But now here's the real reason why I went to seminary. I didn't go to seminary to become a believer. I went to keep on believing. I didn't go to seminary to become a minister, but to force myself to do what a minister is supposed to do. I didn't go to seminary to become just a scholar, but I came to learn that there's sometimes more questions than answers. I didn't go to seminary just to become a graduate of a Baptist school, but to become a baptized by Katrina Conqueror. I didn't go to seminary just to become a family man, but to sacrifice my family on an altar. I didn't go to seminary to make money, but to pay money. I didn't go to seminary to become a better husband, but I came to see how I have a wife better than me. I didn't go to seminary to become a smarter son, but I came to learn how I have wiser and prouder parents. Didn't go to seminary to become better at prayer, but I came to learn how I don't know what to pray for as I should. I didn't go to seminary to become a prophet, but I came to learn how I haven't heard the voice of God like I should have. I didn't go to seminary to become a good orator, but I came to learn about the unspeakable mysteriousness of God. I didn't go to seminary. Seminary was brought to me. It was brought to my family and friends, my co-workers, and the people I go to church with. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The diploma I earned proves I've submitted to God. Now I'm ready to tell the devil, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. And that's it.
All right. We have a gift for you from New Beginnings Church.
I'm going to open it now.
You can open it. It's not hard. You just reach in there and pull it up. You need a hand?
There we go. All right.
The computerized version of QuickVerse, that's the one that I use. It's got everything you ever needed to know about the Bible computerized, all right?
All right.
So that will be a blessing to you. I believe there's another piece of that on the inside, I think.
This?
There was another envelope with that.
Is this it?
Oh, no. There's a... Oh, it's inside the box. Okay.
Okay.
No, I just want to make sure we didn't lose it. There was another white envelope. Well, it's the software that goes with it. Greg, the box is not any good. Oh, there it is. Okay, good. The box is just a box. This is what makes it work, okay?
That's the software.
That's the software.
Okay.
Cherie, can you help him do this? He's not very computer literate in some areas, so. But the card is worth reading. You can read that later. You just rumpled it up in the paper.
Okay.
Is that it?
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You really going to call him Master Cherie? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Back to Daniel. Daniel was forced to go to a land that he didn't want to go to. Went to a place that he didn't intend to go to. But there he was. As we all know the story of Daniel, there's so many things about him. But there he was. But interestingly enough, that in a place he didn't want to be, with people he didn't want to be with, separated from his own family and his own heritage, in that place, Daniel prospered. Isn't that amazing? Now you would think that sometimes when we get shuffled around the world and we get shuffled to places we don't want to be, we find ourselves sometimes in situations we don't want to be in. And usually what we do is lament and cry, you know, and say the famous question, God, where are you? Because we're not where we think that we want to be. But it's there that God so often will prosper us. Daniel's ministry spanned some 70 years. And during those 70 years, he had great trials, but he also had great blessings. He, in many ways, is a picture of the church in the world, that he flourishes in the midst of a really horrific place. That's because he was a Jew, and he was in a pagan land that had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar, later controlled by Belshazzar, Darius, who we're studying about this morning, and then later Cyrus. It's an example of how to overcome adversity. You know, many times we don't know how to get through hard things, but we can look at Daniel and find that how we can overcome things. And he's a great illustration of how faithfulness to God pays off. You know, that's what we're required to do, is to be faithful. So, with that thought in mind, let's look at the scriptures and see how what happens when God elevates you or promotes you in life. The first thing is, it's not, I haven't misspelled anything, you become a person with bling. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule over the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I love it when new words show up in our society. I love the origin of words. And first thing this morning, when Cherie saw me and she saw the notes in the bulletin, she thought, we're having an influence on you. Because she's probably one of the few people who knew I didn't spell it wrong, that there really is a word called bling. And if you won't find it in most dictionaries, But if you go to Wikipedia, you will find bling listed there. That's actually the shortened version. The real true word is bling bling. Now you may wonder where that derived from. It derived from a rapper, and he defined it, the originator of it defined it as, the term refers to the imaginary sound that light makes when it hits a diamond. Bling. It's a story, really. It pictures the rags to riches. When you got nothing and you end up with everything. And I think by anyone's definition, Daniel had bling. Started off as a slave, and he ended up about to be promoted over everything that this pagan king had. He was about to be promoted. Now, he wasn't promoted because of his smarts. He certainly wasn't promoted because of his ethnic background. He wasn't promoted because of how great his parents were. He wasn't even promoted because he went to seminary. He was receiving favor because over and over again, you'll find in the book of Daniel that Daniel was faithful to God. If you want some spiritual bling in your life, the first thing you need to do is practice the quality of faithfulness. To be faithful to God in any and every situation. You know, I've shared this with you before, but it's worth repeating again because it helps me to tell you again that when things are good, like on a day like today, I'm feeling good. I got a little bit of head cold, but I'm really doing all right with that. You know, it's beautiful and I'm surrounded by people I love and who love me. I usually tell God, God, I want you to know that I love you and I'm faithful to you. Because something may happen in the next 20 minutes where I can't tell you that. And no matter what I say, I'm crazy if I say anything other than that. You know, something's happened to me. You know, the devil got a hold of me. I lost my mind. You know, whatever it is, that won't be true. The truth is, Lord, that I'm faithful and I love you and I thank you today. I'd encourage you to do that because I promise you, life has got so many unsuspecting things that can come upon you that you will doubt your own faith in God. God, where are you? How can this happen to me? Lord, I never thought this would be part of my life. Your faithfulness to God is what will allow you to be entrusted by God with the things that God wants you to have in order to fulfill the task that He has planned for your life. Doris didn't promote him for any other reason other than his faithfulness. Daniel distinguished himself in that he did a good job. You know, someone said one time, pray like everything depends on God, and then work like everything depends on you. Now, I don't know about how theologically right that is, but it makes some sense. You know, that we have to be faithful in what we have. God's given us talents and abilities to use those in the kingdom as best we can. You know, if I decided, way back when God called me into the ministry, if I would have just sat around and did nothing, I'd still be sitting around doing nothing. You know, you got to make a decision to do something. You know, I've shared since we're talking about graduation, I remember when God was really working on me to go to seminary, and the last place I wanted to go was to another school. I hated school before I went to school. When I went to preschool, I hated it. I hated it every day. There wasn't a day in my life that I ever went to school and said, I'm so happy to be in school. I didn't like my teachers. I didn't like the books. I didn't like anything about it. I didn't like the grading system. I always thought it was unfair. I don't know why. I just thought it was. I mean, I always hated school. And when God told me he wanted me to go to seminary, I said, no! Anything but seminary. Send me to China, Africa, send me to Japan, send me to the uttermost parts of the world. But, oh God, please don't send me to seminary. And then you could hear God laughing because he knew what was going to happen. So finally on the day when I said, when God put enough heat in my life, and I said, okay, God, if you want me to go to seminary, I will go. But you will have to work out the details. And y'all, some of you heard the story. I went to work the next day and the company I was with closed up, and I was fired. I didn't have a job. So a week later, I ended up in seminary. So, you know, you just sometimes you have to agree to do stuff, hoping that God won't work it out, but he always gets his way. He's kind of that way. I guess that's why we call him God. He can get things done. So Daniel excelled because of his attitude and willingness to do what had to be done. He didn't sit on the sidelines. He did what he could, and he did a good job of it. The New American Standard says about this passage, it refers to Daniel having an excellent spirit. And we need to nurture our spiritual man, our spiritual woman, build ourselves up on our faith by trusting God, deliberating over the truths of God. Jim mentioned this morning about how he's trying to grasp the concept of Christ in him and him in Christ. And boy, you know, you read through that through the scriptures a bunch of times and you don't pay much attention to it. But if you ever stop and camp out there for a while and try to understand that, it'll begin to work in you. Building your spiritual person up. Discovering the truths of God and how they apply to your life. He was about to be promoted over the entire kingdom. Well, let me tell you one thing I've discovered, friends. When you're about to get promoted, there's somebody around who wants to make sure that that doesn't happen. But Daniel was promoted because God was good. Not because Daniel was good, but because God was good. He could have cried about his unjust slavery, but he didn't. How many times do you want to cry about where you are in life? Oh, if I was just, and fill in the blanks. Shorter, taller, fatter, skinnier, prettier, uglier, more educated, less educated. You know, just put the litany in. If I was all those things, then I could finally be happy. That wasn't the attitude of Daniel. Daniel said where he was, he served God. He could have cursed God because God had failed him. What kind of God is this? You know, lets him get sold by his brothers into slavery. He does such a good, you know, not his brothers. I got Joseph mixed up in there. But he ends up in slavery. And he could have cried, you know, where's God? You know, how come God didn't rescue me out of this situation? How come God let Jerusalem fall? How come God let all these things happen? Why am I living here in this pagan land? But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He could have curled in a ball and just had a pity party. Anybody ever have one of those besides me? You know? Oh, woe is me. You know? Why? I don't deserve this. You've said it. Don't look at me like that. You've said that too. You know, I don't deserve it. I've been serving you, God, all the days of my life since I found out who you are. Why would you let this happen to me? We do that. It's our own personal pity party. Do you know that's probably the only kind of party God doesn't show up to? He don't like pity parties. If you're going to have a pity party, forget about it. What was that sign, Sam, you put over your house after the storm? No whining zone. He was taking about 7 or 8 foot of water in his house, I don't know how much, and he just made sure that anybody came in there wouldn't be whining about their situation. God doesn't go to whining parties or pity parties. Daniel is an example of how to receive bling from God. It's all about your attitude. All right? Now, when God's ready to elevate you, as I mentioned just earlier, a little bit earlier, is that not only do you receive bling, but you also receive blame. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 of chapter 6. At this time, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no... Obviously, this was not in Washington, D.C. But they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy. Some of you will catch that in a little while. Because he was trustworthy and neither the corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. They couldn't find something in the natural, so they decided they'd try to find something in the supernatural to bring these false accusations against him. Whenever you find blame, you'll find the bells of blame. All right? Trying to blame you for what you've done or would do. False accusations. They looked for some dirt, but they couldn't find any. There wasn't anything about Daniel to blame him for. So they decided to pull the G card. You know, let's look at his God and his relationship with God. You know, that's one of the places that you become most vulnerable as a believer. You know, if people will look at you and look at your religious background and try to find some blame against you for that. If you use the name of God, if you try doing this one day, try going to the doctor after you've been healed and tell him that God healed you and see what kind of response you get. 99% of the doctors I know don't receive that. You know, they try to think of something else because they would have to admit that there is a God and that you serve the living God. And many of them are not ready to do that in their lives. Jim and I were having a conversation this week, and he said something that I think is really true, and it fits into here. To live a life and do things in such a way that you are blameless, even when no one else knows it but you and God. You know, it's one thing to do things to make sure other people don't find out about it, but it's another thing when nobody will find out about it but you and God, and you still do the right thing. That keeps you from getting blame, even from God, to live an exemplary life in all that you do. You know, when it says that they couldn't find any fault in him, reminded me of a passage I heard somewhere in the New Testament about that. I believe there was someone called Jesus who said they couldn't find any fault in him, couldn't find anything wrong with him, but they still found a way to cut him down. And that's exactly what these guys did. One of the truths of life is this. As unfair as it may be, people will say things about you that just aren't true. It'll happen to you if it hadn't happened already. I remember, and those of you who know me will hopefully never fall into this trap, but I was accused of being in the ministry for money. Well, you can see how well I live. I got that big house, driving that BMW, and I'm pastor of a church. Man, you know, must be making it here. People who knew me accused me of that. I had a laugh at it because it's so ridiculous of all the things that I've ever done. You know, and I don't take this as any particular pat on the back for me, but just to give you an idea of how I've done things, even when I was in seminary and Pat and I were scratching for money, when a big deal was to take Tiffany out to Burger King to get her a burger when she was a little girl because we didn't have any money. We were really, things were really, really tight for us at that time in our lives. And I would go preach at a church and they would give me an honorarium. That's a fancy name for paying you, by the way, if you don't know what an honorarium is. And they'd give me honorariums. And I'd take the checks and I'd endorse them and never look at them and I'd give them away. I might have given away $1 million. I have no idea. It was a rare occasion if I ever took money that I received from a church and cashed it and used it for Pat and I. Although we could have had needs. I just didn't feel right about it. Just one of my quirky things. I've changed since then, by the way. I do. Especially if I do weddings. Just give me all the money you can because it's not enough for me to do a wedding. It's such a hard thing to do. Funerals, I'll give the money away, but for weddings, I keep it all. But accusations were made against me that I was in the ministry for the money. Public accusations in front of congregations. And I can't believe that somebody would say that about me. But I'm telling you this to know that it doesn't have to be true. And godly people will say ungodly things about you when you serve the Lord. It's just the way it is. So you need to know that. that as God elevates you and uses you in the kingdom, that there's always someone around who will try to blame you and find fault in you in order to pull you back down. So be prepared. Don't worry about it. God will take you through it. Maybe He will. Sometimes. No, He will. He will. He'll take you through it. One of the things about living for God, and I'd encourage all of you to do this. So, you know, I just briefly read through this thing about 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go study the qualifications for elders and deacons. And I know sometimes you think, well, I'm not an elder. You know, I'm not a deacon. Well, you know, those character qualities are such that we should all build into our lives to live a life particularly above reproach, so that no one could accuse us and be right about the accusation. It's okay to be accused, but what they don't want is to be accused and to be right about you. It always distresses me when someone brings an accusation against a believer. I will tell you this. If no one else will be on your side, I will. I will not receive an accusation against you. If, you know, somebody comes to me and says, you know, well, you know, they did this, I will say it's not true. I refuse to believe it. I believe it only when it's done in the proper manner, when two or more witnesses bring the accusation and prove it. And then you know what I'll do? I will weep and cry for you that I was wrong, because I just don't believe that about you. I refuse to take reports, bad reports about people. I believe the best about believers. And so when someone comes to you, I'd encourage you to be that way. Someone comes to you and said, well, I don't know how Greg could be a sister pastor at church. Do you know what he did? I actually saw him beat his kids. They may need it, by the way, occasionally. And we know he's not going to beat his wife, because she's going to beat him up. I think she can take him. But don't take accusations when they come. And this is the way most of the time it's couched. And this is what I wanted you to see, the principle here. This is the way it's normally couched. I don't normally talk bad about anyone, but I believe the Lord wants me to tell you this. I want you to pray about it. Anybody says that, stop up your ears and go, ah! And run in the other direction. Just refuse to hear it. Because it's an insidious poison that'll get into you. First of all, it's probably none of your business anyway. If there really is an accusation, then go through the proper channels. The proper channels are, you go see that individual one-on-one. When someone comes to me and says, well, do you know what so-and-so did? My first response is, did you go talk to them about it? I said, well, no. Well, go talk to them. And after you finish, if that doesn't work, then come see me. All right? You go see that person one-on-one. If that doesn't work, you bring someone spiritual with you. Someone who's a solid believer. And then if that doesn't work, then the scriptures say you bring it before the church. Don't receive blame against people, because it just may be that it's not true. Unfortunately, nobody told Darius that. And he took the accusation against Daniel and he believed it. And because he believed it, and he had made this decree that if anyone prayed to anyone other than Darius himself or one of their gods, they'd be thrown into the den of lions. Now, it wasn't about Daniel praying, because Daniel did pray, but it was about disloyalty to the king, and he was not disloyal to the king. All right? So, the third thing is that you become a channel of blessings. All right? Daniel chapter 6, verse 25 through 28. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and during the reign of Cyrus the Persian. When God elevates you and you've been through the valley of blame, God will use you as a channel of blessing. He will use you as a channel of blessing. This is such an interesting story because I think sometimes we don't really get the picture. But let me put it in the contemporary terms. You've just been captured by Al-Qaeda. They hate you. You're an American infidel. The best thing that can happen to you is to slit your throat. That's the environment that Daniel was in. He was just a slave, just a nobody, a nothing, a zero. And he's in this environment. And accusations have been brought against him. And this Osama bin Laden, who's got Daniel, who likes Daniel, who really, Daniel's done a good job for him, because he made a decree, and under the decree of the Medes and Persians, whenever the king said something, he couldn't change his mind. Once it was written down, that was the law. Not even the king himself could change it. And they brought the accusation against Daniel. It was true. He had prayed to his God. And the king had to put him into the den of lions. And if you go read the story, it says that he put him in there, that they put a rock stone over it. The king put his signet seal over it. He had the other administrators put their seal over it. In other words, nobody touches this thing. And when he seals it up, Darius says to Daniel, I hope your God delivers you out of here. Daniel, you're a nice kid. I hate to see this happening to you. But I don't have any choice. This is the way it's going to be. The king goes home, and the king can't sleep. He's got a sleepless night. He's tossing and turning on his feather bed, wondering what's happening to Daniel. And the next morning, when the sun pops up, Darius goes to the lion's den, and he hollers, Daniel, are you there? And Daniel says, fear not, king, I am here. Woo! And Darius must have danced a dance. Now, how many people do you know can survive the lion's den? These were not kitty cats to be petted. In fact, I tried to use a pride of lions up here on the overhead for you to get a picture of these guys. They're kind of basking in the sun after a big dinner on somebody they had just eaten. This is a real thing, Rose. This is a real person who's put in an awful situation. You talk about out of the pot and into the frying pan. Or out of the frying pan into the fire. That's the way it goes. I get my metaphors messed up sometimes. Just when you think things can't get worse, but they do. So what does Daniel say? He said that during the night, an angel showed up. And he shut up the mouth of the lions. And he said, I'm okay, king. And they pull him out. Now, you know what, Don? The king is really, really mad. He's got no more bling for all those other guys because they tried to hurt Daniel. To show you how vicious the situation was, the king gets these administrators who brought these accusations against Daniel and really made a fool out of the king. He throws them and their families into the lion's den. And to go read it, it says before they hit the ground, the lions tore them apart. What was the difference? The difference was a man of God, faithful of God, God can take him out of any and every situation. He was in there, but he came out okay. and those who were guilty suffered. Those who blame you, those who make accusations against you, those are the ones who are going to suffer, not you. And I'll tell you a little secret. You serve the Lord, and you're doing the best you can, and people come around and speak things about you that are not true, they will have to do, as we say, have to eat their proverbial hats or crow. They'll have to come back to you. So, and Pat will tell you this, sometimes when people will say things about us that are not true, we kind of have a little signal and we kind of look at each other and just kind of laugh because we know they'll be back. But when they come back, they'll be weeping and saying, "I'm so sorry." It's happened virtually every time in our lives when an accusation has been made that that person has to come back to us and say they're sorry for what they did. That's exactly right. They come back to us now. In fact, I can tell you a bunch of stories, but just one quick one for you. There was a lady who was so bound and determined that she would not listen to me preach because I had been divorced, and she knew that no divorced man could ever preach, that the first time I got up to preach in church, she got up, grabbed her family of four kids and her husband, and walked out, stormed out of the church. She was so mad. Years later, this poor lady got cancer. And she was she had a really nasty attitude. She was not warm and fuzzy at all. No, she was not a very friendly person. She made every pastor she ever knew mad at her. For one reason or another. When she was sick, and this cancer was eating her up, you know who she called to pray for her? Me and Pat. She'd call me in the middle of the night. She was such an antagonist. She'd call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. "Brother Morris, would you pray for me?" And I would say, "Yeah, I'll pray for you." She said, "No, I mean, can you come over?" I said, "Oh, you want me to get out of my nice warm bed and come over?" She said, "Yeah, I want you to come over." She was such a pain about it. And sure enough, I'd put my pants over my jammies, you know, and go out in the middle of the night and go pray for her. But you know what she told me one day? She said, "You know what? You're the only guy in this town who will minister to me." She said, "I'm so sorry I was so mean to you the day I walked out of church on you." Well, let me tell you the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. I never knew she had walked out. I didn't know it. God had blinded me from it. I would have never known if she not told me. It wouldn't have made any difference the way I treated her. But I didn't know, and she shared it with me. So you see, God can take even your enemies and make them be at peace with you. And God can bring blessings to you in the worst storm you ever go through in life. That's exactly what happened here. Doris blessed her. He goes on to say that this is what Doris said. "May you prosper greatly. Everyone must honor Daniel's God. God is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom can't be destroyed. His dominion never ends. He rescues and saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth." This is an ungodly, unbelieving king who declared these things about Daniel. See, that's when God begins to pour blessings out in your life that you cannot begin to contain. And he prospered during the whole reign of Darius and later of Cyrus the Persian. God can make his enemies be at peace with you. The entire Bible proclaims that God is on your side. No matter what you're going through, if you haven't heard another thing that I've said this morning, I want you to know that God is on your side. He knows where you are. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't walked away. I know you can smell the nasty breath of the lions, but I want you to know that God is on your side. I want to close with a little story that I read. Since it's graduation, it's a graduation story. This young man was graduating from college and came from a wealthy family, and he had been down to the local sports car dealership and saw a beautiful sports car that he would like to have. So he went to see his dad, and he's asked his dad if he would give him this sports car for his graduation present. Well, graduation day came, and his dad called him into his office, and he had a little package for him, and he said, "This is your graduation gift." And he opened it up, and it was a Bible with his name on the outside of it. And he became furious with his dad. He said, "You are a wealthy man. I ask you for that sports car, and you give me this stinking Bible?" And he threw it down, and he walked off, and he never saw his dad again for the rest of his life. He went on to become a very successful businessman. And upon his dad's death, he was called and told that his dad had willed his entire estate to him. And so he went to finish up his dad's affairs. And when he did, he went to his dad's office. And what do you think he found? He found that Bible with his name right on the desk where he had thrown it when he left. And he picked it up and he began to look. And just, there was a little marker like we have in the Bibles. And he opened it up. And he found underlined a passage of Scripture. And the passage was, "If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will God give good gifts to you?" And as he held the Bible, something fell out. And he reached down. It was a car key with a tag from the dealership that he had saw the sports car. And on the tag it was written, "Paid in full." You see, many times we've missed God's blessings because they're not packaged the way we expect them to be. He had it then and walked away from it. And you know, wherever you are today, God might have blessings packaged for you in a way you just don't expect them to be. Don't walk away angry from God and say, "Well, God, you promised this to me. I asked you for this and you didn't give it to me." Just trust that your Heavenly Father knows what's going on in your life and that He will open the channels of blessings and pour blessings upon you that you cannot contain. That's the story of Daniel. Got blamed. And God bless. Isn't that a great story? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. It's always so good, dear Lord, for us to be able to read and study about men who, women who lived thousands and thousands of years ago. And yet their stories are so powerful that they echo through the ages to us. And we can read and hear and understand. Father, let us be like Daniel, Lord. Let's have a Daniel spirit about us. That we won't gripe and complain and we won't be fearsome when things don't go our way or someone accuses or blames us. But that we'll always do as Daniel did, that we'll look to you. Father, as the New Testament says, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, let us live that way, trusting you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, dear Lord. Pray your blessings upon us in all that we do. And we pray it in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. Don't forget, we're about to have the big cake.